This is not just the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat at Walgreens. This is the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat right after receiving all their vaccines in one trip. This is the sound of treating yourself, because you protected yourself.
Stop by or schedule both your flu and COVID-19 vaccines today and grab yourself a sweet treat while you're at it. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
We mentioned Florida's recovery from Milton. Now, Hurricane Helene caused even more devastation a few weeks ago. Florida up to Tennessee and Georgia, North Carolina, where the federal response was hampered by threats, leading to this.
Rutherford County Sheriff's deputies arrested 44-year-old William Parsons for a vague threat he made, saying he was going to mess up some FEMA personnel while he was armed. Members of the Army called the sheriff after hearing about this threat from a gas station attendant. Parsons has since posted bail. But then a Forest Service official said he got an email from FEMA, which said a National Guard unit, also in Rutherford County, came across some militia members who said they were out hunting FEMA. But the sheriff's department came out and said after further investigation, it was determined Parsons acted alone and there were no truckloads of militia. FEMA, though, told the AP that in response to all this, their workers in the area were pulled back from going door to door. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
On Wall Street, stock futures are mixed, barely moving. The day after record highs for the S&P 500 and the Dow, closing above 43,000 for the first time. In the baseball playoffs, a big day for New York. The Yankees beat the Cleveland Guardians 5-2 in the American League Championship Series opener after the Mets got even with the Dodgers.
Crack to right center field. Páez on the move to the track. He couldn't find it. That's because it's over the wall.
Mark Vientos' grand slam powered New York to a 7-3 win in Los Angeles on Fox to tie the National League Championship Series at a game apiece. On Monday Night Football, Buffalo beat New York.
The Jets have now lost three straight games after falling to the Bills 23-20 Monday night. It was a sloppy game that saw both teams have 11 accepted penalties, but Jets kicker Greg Zuerlein missed two field goals in the second half as New York fell to 2-4. Jets interim coach Jeff Ulbrich dropped his first game less than a week after owner Woody Johnson announced that Robert Saleh would no longer serve as head coach.
That's Fox's Joe Morgan. The Bills improved to 4-2. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Good morning, 6:05, 72 degrees right now at News Radio 92.3. And John Pickens has our traffic on the fives this morning.
Well, good morning, and no accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly. We are seeing some delays if you're at the intersection of 9 Mile and Highway 29, just some congestion delays there. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Two Navarre residents have passed away after a motorcycle crash in Bay County. This happened last Sunday on State Road 20. FHP says the Navarre residents, a 46-year-old man and a 52-year-old woman, were on a motorcycle and headed west on 20 when a pickup truck driven by a 46-year-old Milton man crossed the center line while going around a curve and crashed into them head-on. The riders were thrown from the bike onto the roadway. The pickup then ran off the road and into the tree line. Both riders died from their injuries. The pickup driver also suffered minor injuries in that crash. An Escambia County jail inmate might be facing charges for the beating death of a fellow inmate. That happened earlier this month in the jail's infirmary. Officials say 36-year-old Jorge Velasquez beat 42-year-old Kevin Johnson, who later died from his injuries. Velasquez had originally been charged with aggravated battery. That case is now being reviewed by the state attorney's office. Now, the Gulf Coast getting a little bit of help rebuilding after Hurricane Milton. The governor announcing yesterday that Seaport Manatee has been awarded $9.5 million to jumpstart its recovery. That money will be used to help repair infrastructure that was damaged in the storm. And over a half million people have already cast ballots in Florida for November's election. The state elections office announcing yesterday that over 500,000 vote-by-mail ballots have been returned so far. 200,000 from registered Democrats, just under 200,000 from registered Republicans, and about 100,000 from voters with no party affiliation. 6:07 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
Plenty of sunshine today with a high near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 56 degrees. For Wednesday, nice sunny skies, high near 68. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 50 degrees. Keeping the sunny and beautiful weather around on Thursday, high near 70 degrees, low near 57 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 72 right now in Pensacola. Your next news at 6:30 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Don Gates, and I stand with Governor DeSantis to stop illegal aliens from invading our state and draining our resources. I'll never allow illegals to get Florida driver's licenses, and I won't spend a penny of taxpayer money on illegals so long as there is one Florida veteran who needs our help or our care. Law enforcement is supporting me because I will give them the tools, the laws, and the backing to arrest illegals who commit crimes and get them out of our country. If Biden can't, or if Biden won't, then Florida must protect our borders and preserve the rule of law. And that's why I'm running for the Senate.
Don Gates, trusted conservative leadership, fighting for Northwest Florida. Paid by Don Gates, Republican for State Senate.
There are approximately 5,000 media market radio stations in the country, and only one was recognized for excellence by winning the prestigious Marconi Award from the National Association of Broadcasters at a ceremony in New York City.
News Radio 92.3,
the Media Market Station of the Year. Thanks to you. This is Pensacola's news, weather, and traffic station.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Mr. Osteen and all the sublessees on the Long Hollow Tower, they're all very passionate small business owners who are committed to providing a service that is not necessarily high tech, but a very valued service to the city of Pensacola.
This is Dina Stallworth. She is the property lease manager for the city of Pensacola, talking at last Thursday's city council meeting about an issue that is directly related to us, not really on purpose related to us, but it, you know, we're pretty involved in all of this. It has to do with the fact that our FM antenna, the thing that you're listening to right now, if you're listening on 92.3 FM, that tower in the Long Hollow Stormwater Pond just off of Palafox downtown, sort of that same pond that's real close to the ECUA storage tank and the old medical facility, that giant pond that's back in there. We are on top of the, or we are on that tower, and you're listening to an antenna that sits on that tower, and that tower is going to go away. The reason that tower is going to go away is because the city is expanding that stormwater pond with a lot of federal money, ARPA money, American Rescue Plan money. That money has to be tasked or encumbered by the end of the year. And part of it has to do with expanding the capacity of that pond, which means taking, basically digging out where the current lines are that tie that antenna down and hold it in place. Without the lines, you can't have the tower. The tower is going to come down. And they voted 7-0 to make that decision last Thursday. Now, of course, the other part of the story is that without our antenna being able to be on top of that tower, along with seven other stations, there's a TV station, there's several radio stations, our own ESPN Pensacola, FM 99.1, and the Playlist 94.5 are also located on that particular tower. And the antennas are on that tower. And the city is talking about how to make sure that we are not adversely affected by this, meaning how to move those antenna somewhere else that it's really going to work. And the problem is that there is a location. There's an Englewood, is what they call the Englewood Tower, and it's plenty tall enough, and it's close by, and the city owns it, and it works perfect. The problem is that at the top of that tower, there's already stuff there, and, you know, we're not going to push those folks off of the tower, and it wouldn't be even fair to ask for it, in order to make room for us. And it's a lot of law enforcement, actually, that are at the top of that other tower.
Now the object is to try to squeeze them up higher at a height that would suit their needs, but also with that, not affect anyone else that's on there. I can't take the FBI offline for Cat Country. Not to say that they're not important, but the FBI is already on there. And we, like I said, FBI, Motorola, PPD, Scammy County Public Safety, all use that tower.
Yeah, and there's a lot of very important functions for folks who need that height, basically, on that tower, which is what we need also. Our current antenna sits at about 350 feet. The initial report on that other tower was, hey, there's plenty of space at 160 to 200 feet. My boss, Dave Hoxing, looked at that and said, what the? in radio, height is a big deal, okay? Having the antenna, especially a signal like ours. God, John, do you know, is it 250 watts? It's a very small, the FM 92.3 is very small.
It's a translator.
Yeah, yes. And so, you know, the 10,000 watt AM signal, the 1620 is a completely different. That's where you have like the whole antenna is powered. You never want to touch those antennas. You know, the whole tower is part of the broadcasting system. This is just a kind of a little teeny tower piece of equipment that sits on the top of the tower, and it goes to a cable goes down to the base, and there's a box there, and it's just like, it's not what you think of. It's just a tower holding this equipment. Well, we need that in order to have coverage. If you move it down to 250 feet or 100 feet or 200 feet, you're going to have much less coverage area. So, you know how when you're driving through like Milton and you kind of can sort of get 92.3, or when you're in Navarre and you can sort of get 92.3, or you're in Perdido and you can sort of get 92.3. Well, you'd have that same experience, except you'd have it, you know, like trying to cross the I-10 bridge or the 3 Mile bridge, or, you know, it would be much closer in. Okay. So basically, they're going to take down that tower. No problem. The Stormwater Project is a good one. It's going to affect a lot of us and several other radio stations. And if we didn't find an alternative, you wouldn't have 92.3 to listen to. You'd still have AM 1620. You would still have FM 95.3. That's a different tower. And by the way, Cat Country's not involved in this. I know they kept saying Cat Country, but it's really not about Cat Country. It's news radio. But the city's, you know, the city's been great. Okay, the city, in fact, we didn't report on this ahead of time, mostly because, I don't know, we wanted to just wait and see what the city would do. And the city has been wonderful. Dina Stallworth has been working with us for months, learning about radio and understanding. My boss, Dave Hoxing, is going to make sure he's going to explain it, you know, sometimes too much, but he's passionate and he cares and he knows. And so the short version is they want to move us, or we want to move, and they're looking at the prospect of moving us to this other tower, this Englewood Tower. That's the tower that has stuff on the top already, and yet we could easily move to the 160 to 200 foot range, but we want to be above 350 feet. Really, 400 would be fantastic, and for us and the other radio stations, okay? And the city is willing to do this as long as it's feasible and as long as putting us up there doesn't interfere with any of the existing clients like the FBI and Motorola and PPD and so forth. And we totally agree with all of that. We just don't think there's any reason to delay. And by the way, this is not a right-of-way thing. This is going to be like a year, year and a half from now. It's just that in order to make the funds work, in order to guarantee the money, in order to do the stormwater project, and we're talking millions of dollars, and a very important project for the city, they've got to have a plan, and that plan requires them to have terminated the lease so that they know, for the tower, so that they know, we can start engineering. We know what's going to happen. That's kind of the very short version of this. But again, I said this many times. We're going to be covering this a lot today just because I know it matters to you because you care about this station. You care about 92.3. And you may well care about several of the other stations involved as well. You know, the Playlist or ESPN Pensacola or even our competitors. I mean, Robert Hill, the FM version of his AM station, which is a largely black news talk station, does really good work. That, you know, they're affected because they're on there too. And like Catholic Radio is on there and a couple of others. There's a small TV station on there as well. So this is going on in the community. You've maybe seen the reports on the PNJ. You know, Molly wrote an article about this, and it's kind of been in the news off and on for the last 10 years with some other stuff that's not related to this particular issue. But like I said, the city has been great. The mayor has been great. They have been working hard to make sure that this works. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good, not seeing much congestion there. Getting back to Highway 29 and 9 Mile Road, that intersection, just seeing some delays in all four areas. So just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic's good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So again, just to be clear, the tower, they voted 7-0 to take down that tower. That means that if nothing else changed, 92.3 would not be available anymore. But they are going to find a home for us. We are going to stay on the air on the 92.3. We still will always have the 1620, and 95.3 is not affected by this. But we're just trying to figure out where and at what height and what coverage area will we have for it. And again, the mayor and the city and the council are all fully on board. And the grant actually requires them to relocate all of these companies, these businesses, and not adversely affect us and them.
This is not us trying to find the lowest hanging fruit. We found the highest hanging fruit and I think that should illustrate our intentionality and how important and how vital this is to the overall resiliency of this city. We wouldn't be going through all this. Trust me, we would not be if this wasn't vitally important.
Yeah, all of the difficulty of moving all these radio stations indicates how important that stormwater pond expansion project really is, because as he said, we wouldn't do this if we didn't have to. Well, we really have to.
If it doesn't work in the Long Hollow Tower, it's our obligation to find another suitable opportunity, and we are committed to doing that.
And he meant the Englewood Tower. He just got his words mixed up. But that they are committed to making sure that all of these radio stations get a comparable height antenna placement. And, of course, that includes us here at News Radio.
Wouldn't be going this route if it wasn't absolutely necessary for us. But we do have an obligation to Cat Country and others. We will stand by that, and then we'll continue to be committed to that.
And again, for those who don't know, Cat Country, it's not actually Cat Country. That's News Radio. Cat Country is a completely separate issue. But our company was originally Cat Country, and our bosses own Cat Country and News Radio, ESPN Pensacola, and Playlist. And, and of course, they showed up in their yellow jackets, branding at the Thursday meeting. So that's why it was on everybody's mind. Jared Moore, after waiting a long time and not asking questions, basically said, I've heard all the questions answered that I need to have answered. And, we're going to protect this very important set of businesses.
I think with the comments and the assurances that Mayor and Dean have made on the record, I feel comfortable for it at this point, too, that we're guaranteeing that this invaluable service and this private business will have the support they need to continue to provide equal or better service to the citizens of this area. So.
Yeah, which is great. And thank you for the kind words about, us all being, vital and important to the city. We certainly agree. 437-1620. Oh, this is a question. I don't know the answer to this one. John, maybe you know. What about 98.7 HD3, which we are on that also. We're on four different broadcast frequencies, AM 1620, FM 95.3 in the north and the west of the county, because that tower is actually located in Alabama, 92.3, where that tower is located right downtown, and then also 98.7 HD3. Where does that one?
That's in Alabama.
It is Alabama.
On the Cat Country Tower.
It's on the main Cat Country Tower. Okay, so that's completely unaffected. That's a completely different issue. But thank you for asking. I didn't know the answer to that for sure. I knew it wasn't on this one, but I wasn't sure where. So 620 here on News Radio 92.3. For now, no, I kid. No, it will be. It will be 92.3. And like I said, the city's been fantastic. And it's just a matter. The reason my boss has been concerned about this and the reason we've been concerned about this is because we don't have every single step in the from here to there figured out. We have what we think is a good path and we think is going to work out, and it's the best opportunity as long as the study comes back and says okay. And until every single green light is there, we're a little bit nervous. But again, we have great partners in the city, and, not only are they obligated by law, but they're obligated by how they understand our value. Like, in storms, right? And getting information out and talking about local things that matter to the citizens. Like, all of that works in our favor, and of course, they're obligated by the grant to make us whole. Same for all the other stations as well, okay? Whether they won Station of the Year or not. I kid. It was pretty good timing. Pretty good timing to win Station of the Year the same week the city council is going to vote on whether to end the lease and tear down the tower that your station sits on. Best case scenario for us. I don't think that affected anything, but still, it was kind of funny. 621 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want to make sure that you have an outstanding professional realtor who's going to help you with that process. And Christina Leavenworth is fantastic. I mean, one of the things I think about is how many times have they done it? Once you have, put on 1,000 braces, you know how to do it. Once you have repaired 1,000 transmissions, you know how to do it. And, you know, if you've sold 1,000 homes, and I think she's in that vicinity. I didn't do the actual math, but it's somewhere in that vicinity that she and her folks at Levin Rinke Realty, because 175 last year, it's a couple hundred the year before that, like 230 or something like that. It's been 130 plus so far this year. So they've done this again and again and again. That means you know how to get to the end result. You know how to make sure that the end result of closing happens to overcome any obstacles you get. But also, you know what's normal. You know, so when a buyer says to you, I love your house, I'll buy it from you, but you got to replace the water heater. You're like, what? And they say, yeah, insurance in Florida. Your realtor can say, yeah, that's actually a real thing. Or, no, no, you don't need to do that. That's why you want somebody that goes through this process a lot and really knows what's normal. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, 723-9158.
With 0% financing on one of Volkswagen's most popular SUV crossovers, there's no better time to drive the VW Tiguan from Peterborough Imports. Get 0% APR for a full 60 months, plus an additional $500 of VW loyalty cash. And you'll be driving the 2024 Tiguan S for as low as $28,999. But if you'd rather forego the 0% APR, then take advantage of an additional discount for a low price of $27,499. And the 2025 Jetta S, Volkswagen's top-selling four-door sedan, is now available from a low $22,995. This month, the numbers are adding up to bigger savings from Peterborough Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Peterborough Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualified credit to BCI. Sale price before tag, tax, title, and dealer fee. Royalty discount for qualified VW owners. See dealer for details.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
New South Window lives southern weather, and our products are designed to keep the intense heat out and the cool air in. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. That's why our energy-efficient windows and doors are made, installed, and guaranteed for life.
For a limited time only, save 35% off on New South Windows and Doors. Visit newsouthwindow.com/radio to learn more.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
We use the stones to destroy the stones.
From the Stone. 626 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. You know what always amazes me is when I'm watching a movie or a TV show and they get some, you know, band to remake that song. And I always think, you know, there's just some things you do. You don't repaint the Mona Lisa. you just let's do a new and improved Sistine Chapel. No, stop. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
Yeah, just don't do it. One accident to let you know about just popped up. North S Street and Fairfield Drive. No roadblock associated with that one and just some minor delays. I-10, I-110 looking good right now. We're starting to see some delays here on Highway 90 headed from Pace into Pensacola. Expect some delays there. Other than that, traffic's good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David? Maybe. Because I know you've been having massive computer problems this morning.
I have, but I think maybe I'm crossing my fingers here. Maybe I'm getting to the bottom.
How many chickens did it cost you?
Quite a few. Authorities say a 44-year-old North Carolina man has been arrested for threatening FEMA workers. William Parsons was arrested. He's charged with going armed to the terror of the public. That's just a frightening charge.
All of it. It's horrible.
FEMA previously announced it's temporarily pausing aid in parts of North Carolina because of reported threats to emergency workers.
Reported militias driving around in trucks hunting FEMA workers is the reports. Like, what the actual... But this is why misinformation matters.
Right.
And all of the lies or errors that have been spread about FEMA in the last month are, you know, can have consequences because they fuel these imbeciles who don't know any better, don't fact check, get all worked up. And anyway, it's go ahead, David.
Well, a train operator has died. More than 20 passengers are injured after an accident in New Jersey. Officials say a train hit a tree on the tracks on Monday on New Jersey's River Light Rail Line. It's not known if the tree fell on the train or if the train hit the tree, it says. Although I don't know how a train could hit a tree.
I would think it would have to be option A. Yeah.
I didn't write that line. I just want to put that in there.
But you know what I was thinking is we always think about trees downed on roads during hurricanes and stuff.
They could easily fall over the
tracks. I never thought about trees on railroad tracks, but kind of makes sense. That'd be a big impediment.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
And hardware store brand True Value has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy now. They're selling their operations to rival Do It Best, but say they will continue day-to-day operations.
Well, thank God for that. But, man, all right. You know, it's funny because, David, thanks so much for the update. You know, when companies are failing... That's a good thing. You're like, well, wait, how can a company failing? No. Okay. Companies failing is good because it's evidence of a market and that market solving the problem that used to justify that business a different way. Unless what you've got is like the government is ruining everything, which can happen. It's not as common in this country, but it can happen. I'll give you an example. When a restaurant goes away, a restaurant goes away, and it's not because there are no restaurants. It goes away because there are better restaurants or other restaurants where people want to go, right? It's not that people aren't eating. So when a restaurant fails, that's not actually a bad thing. That's a really good thing. That's what sometimes, you know, capitalists would call creative destruction. But that's... The thing you see going away means that the need, the demand for that service has already been provided somewhere else, and this is just the falling away of the dead skin on the snake or something like that. So, you know, if this company is going away, it can feel like a loss. It just means that the demand for whatever product they made either doesn't exist anymore because there's better products, or people are buying something else and they're already putting their business over there and those people have already been hired and those businesses have already been built. So it's not a bad thing.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. We're 3 weeks from Election Day. Former President Trump and Vice President Harris both campaigning in Pennsylvania.
We have the worst president and the worst vice president in the history of our country by far. And let me tell you, she is worse than him.
He is only focused on himself. Well, folks, it's time to turn the page.
President Biden speaks at a Democratic Party dinner in Philadelphia tonight. Iran's nuclear and oil facilities are reportedly not on the strike list for Israel's military.
According to the Washington Post, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has told the U.S. government he's willing to restrict strikes to military targets. Netanyahu's office has released a statement saying it's listening to American advice, but will make its own decisions.
Fox's Jonathan Savage, the strikes would be retaliation for Iran launching missiles at Israel. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 66 degrees. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola. Two Navarre residents have died after a head-on motorcycle crash in Bay County. This happened last Sunday on State Road 20. FHP says the Navarre residents, a 46-year-old man and a 52-year-old woman, were headed west on 20 on their motorcycle when a pickup truck driven by a 46-year-old Milton man crossed over the center line while going around a curve and then crashed into them head-on. The riders were thrown from the bike into the roadway. The pickup ran off the road into a tree line. Both riders died from their injuries. The driver of the truck also suffered some minor injuries in that crash. A Pensacola man is charged with trafficking an underage girl in Bay County. 25-year-old Malcolm Drakeford was arrested Friday. Investigators say he'd taken a young girl from Pensacola to Bay County, where her contact information was listed on a website advertising sexual services. Deputies also believe that ad had been featured in several cities in Northwest Florida in previous months. Deputies say they located the girl using their real-time crime center. She was found with Drakeford in the Callaway area. The girl was turned over to the Department of Juvenile Justice. She'll be brought back to Pensacola. Drakeford is now charged with human trafficking of a minor and is being held in the Bay County Jail on $500,000 bond. The sheriff's office says they do expect further arrests in this case. Now, 12 organizations that will receive more than $100,000 in grant money from Impact 100 this year have been named. The philanthropic women's organization released the names of those organizations that have been chosen. This year, a few of those include Pyramid Inc. for their Driving Innovative Opportunities for the People with Disabilities program, My Father's Arrows for their Rolling Onto a Bigger Vision program, Northwest Florida Guardian Ad Litem for their Cases for Kids program, Ministry Village at Olive for the Tender Hearts Caring and Hands building. And Impact 100 says this year the grant amount is bigger thanks to an increase in membership. They're also kicking off their membership season this week, and they've got their first meet and mingle event set for next month. SpaceX has launched another rocket. A Falcon 9 blasted off from Cape Canaveral this morning. The rocket was carrying 23 Starlink satellites into low Earth orbit. It's expected to take a while to remove all of the storm debris in Orange County. Residents with debris piled outside their homes will probably have to wait weeks before all of that's picked up. An official in Orlando said crews are currently working 7 days a week, and they're estimating they've got about 300,000 cubic yards of debris to pick up after those storms last week. An Escambia County woman facing charges after allegedly getting angry and then chasing kids with a knife at a birthday party. Deputies say this happened at a party on Irene Lane on Sunday night. 44-year-old Lisa Bryant allegedly got angry and then began chasing people with a knife. During this incident, deputies say a 17-year-old was cut on the hand. Bryant is now being held with no bond at the Escambia County Jail. She's charged with aggravated assault with a weapon and cruelty to a child. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with just that one accident that happened on S Street and West Fairfield Drive. No roadblock associated with that one, but I'm seeing some minor delays. Also, if you are heading from Pace into Pensacola, you're going to see some minor delays through that construction zone. And zooming out, if you are headed, let's see here, to Windhaven Beach or coming from there, I'm starting to see little delays there. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast. Maybe. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we do have 65 degrees in Pensacola, 64 in Gulf Breeze, and it's 59 in Milton. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit WaveMen'sHealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of everyone in your community. Listen in today at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel when Director Marie Mott will give a public health update. That's today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Warning, Amendment 4 overturns Florida's parental consent law, so a minor could undergo an abortion without a parent's permission. Doctors can't even prescribe Tylenol without a parent's consent. But with Amendment 4, abortion would become the only medical procedure that can be performed on a minor without a parent's permission. Amendment 4 goes far beyond Roe v. Wade, eliminating reasonable safeguards and forcing taxpayers to fund abortions, even late-term abortions, when science says the baby can feel pain. The Amendment 4 campaign is funded by George Soros and his radical allies, the same people trying to strip away parents' rights and push gender ideology in schools are trying to overturn parental consent on abortion. Amendment 4 isn't about freedom. It's about taking power from parents and giving it to radical leftists. Be warned. Amendment 4 is way too extreme and not what it seems. Sponsored by Truth About Amendment 4.
There are approximately 5,000 media market radio stations in the country, and only one was recognized for excellence by winning the prestigious Marconi Award from the National Association of Broadcasters at a ceremony in New York City.
News Radio 92.3.
The Media Market Station of the Year.
Thanks to you.
This is Pensacola's news, weather, and traffic station.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News and amendment time. Let's talk about these amendments. We're going to maybe do them in order. I'm not going to get to more than two today, I would think. One and two is my goal for the day. But, you know, people have been asking me, are you going to talk about these amendments? Well, yeah. It's always a question of when. Because, you know, do you do it right before the election? Well, what if everybody's voted early voting or mail-in voting? Crap. You do it early? Well, you know, nobody remembers what you said a month ago. It's a hard thing to solve, okay? So, Florida Amendment 1, Partisan School Board Elections Amendment. This is actually a very straightforward amendment. Of all the amendments on the ballot, this is actually the easiest one to understand. All it means is candidates would have an R or a D behind their name or an NPA behind their name for school board. You know, right now, school board is no party affiliation, right? So you don't really know whether Patty Hightower or Carissa Bergosh or, you know, Bill Slayton are Republicans or Democrats or Kevin Adams or anybody. You know, you don't know whether Republicans or Democrats or Libertarians or Green Party or Constitutional Party or whatever. You don't know. This would make it so that they would be partisan elections starting in 2026. So 2 years from now, they would have to be, or, well, they could be no party affiliation, but you would have primaries like you have now, you know, for other offices, and they'd be Republicans or Democrats, and it'd be that simple. Now, before we get into the pros and cons, and feel free to weigh in, 437-1620, 437-1620, this, as any amendment, takes 60% to pass. So 60% plus a vote will pass in the state of Florida and make this happen, make this change. And we used to be this way. We used to have partisan school board elections until 1998 when we passed Amendment 11 that made us nonpartisan as we are now. So we have been this way for 26 years, or I guess it'd be 28 years once this takes place. And that was first put in first proposed by the Florida Constitution Revision Commission, or the CRC. So the question is, should we or shouldn't we? And we'll get into that. But 437-1620, feel free to text me whether you think school boards should be partisan Republicans or Democrats or should stay like it is. You just don't know. Before we even talk about the merits of any of these things, it's important for me to say this. My default vote on any constitutional amendment is always no. Unless it's to remove a prior law, in which case I don't have as strong of a default. But generally speaking, I vote no on constitutional amendments. You've got to really persuade me it's a good idea. Like 75% confidence. Because a lot of times what happens is you'll get a proposal for a ballot initiative, and you think, man, I'm like 55% sure this is good, and I have like 45% uncertainty. Vote no. Because you don't want to put a maybe in the Constitution. It's that simple. You should always vote no on constitutional amendments unless you are really, really sure it's a good idea. So if you're at all uncertain about it, then vote no. Make a better amendment in the future, because once it's in the Constitution, it is almost impossible to get rid of it. Actually, this one is one that is trying to undo a prior constitutional amendment and is going to have to get 60% plus one in order to undo the prior one. So you shouldn't tinker with the Constitution of Florida unless you really, really have to. So that's my default setting. Now, on this one in particular, I'm in favor, but I'm not 100% in favor. And I'll tell you, there are four states, Alabama, Connecticut, Louisiana, that have partisan school board elections. Five states, Rhode Island, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia, do it like depending on the district. So it's variable. Okay, so that's nine states that have it. 41 states, including us, nonpartisan. So by far the preferred position across the country is nonpartisan. So you say, well, why would you want to change that? Well, couple of reasons. I like what Spencer Roach, who's a state representative for District 76 here in Florida, said, is if people really want to vote for nonpartisan candidates, which is part of the appeal of having our current system, well, right now you don't know whether you're getting a nonpartisan candidate. You know, the theory is that nonpartisan is the same as being moderate or neutral or middle of the road or a compromise between the R and the D, or the left and the right, or the conservative and the liberal, right? That's the theory, is nonpartisan makes you fair or neutral somehow. No, nonpartisan just means that we don't know whether you're a conservative or a liberal. We don't know whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an anarchist or a libertarian or a fascist. We don't know because there's nothing behind your name. We have to figure it out by talking with you. And so the argument in favor of this would be something like, hey, if there's R's and D's, there can also be NPAs. And at least under that situation, you'd know that somebody's actually kind of a moderate because they'd be an NPA. R's are going to be R's and D's are going to be D's, but the NPAs would be your moderates. You'd really know. Okay, so that's one argument in favor. Another argument in favor, and I'll give you the cons in a minute, 437-1620 if you want to weigh in on this. One of the arguments in favor of this is school board members are already partisans. They just don't say it. And so this is transparency. This is clarity of information. Look, Kevin Adams, not to pick on him particularly, but he is a Republican. Everybody knows he's a Republican. It's obvious when you've listened to him for 10 minutes, you know he's a Republican, okay? But he's not elected as a Republican, right? So why not? For voter information, and also for the fact that they already are, why not make that clear? Now you say, well, if you can listen to him for 10 minutes and know he's a Republican, why does it need to have an R behind his name? Because some are harder to tell. He's an easy case. He's an obvious case. And so others are harder to tell, and this would at least give you better information. There's more to this, and we'll talk about it in a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot and likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free and get you back on the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. No accidents to report to you right now. Starting to see some delays again at Highway 29 and 9 Mile. That intersection right there. And also, it looks good out there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. 647 here on News Radio 92.3. So we're talking about Amendment Number 1. And this amendment on your ballot will make school board races partisan. So you'll have people running with an R or a D or an NPA or an L for Libertarian behind their name, whereas right now they have nothing behind their name. Again, 41 states do it the way we do it. 9 states do it with partisanship or some kind of partisanship in some counties. Arguments against this are that, for example, the schools are supposed to be neutral. The schools are supposed to be moderate. The schools are supposed to serve all the children. They're supposed to not take sides on a lot of these controversial issues. Carmen Ward, the president of the Alachua County Education Association, I do not think there's any place for partisan politics in our public education system. We should be fully focused on what's best for students. I feel like public education is under attack, and part of the attack is sowing the seeds of division. I think this is part of the culture war strategy that's being perpetrated on classrooms, on educators, and public school systems by our leadership. Right? The division, rancor, extremism. If you have R's and D's, then the R's will be fighting with the R's to be more R than anybody else. And then you get some of the problems we have with extreme candidates. And, you know, you'd actually have people saying things like, I'm for Trump, put me on the school board, you know, or whatever, like some nonsense like that. I recognize the concern. And I share the concern. However, there's a premise problem here. And the premise problem is that our schools can or should be somehow neutral or moderate. I don't want our schools being highly political if we can avoid it, but I think schools already are highly political. Schools are one of the most controversial things in society, precisely because you have public money, taxes, compulsory public money, going to pay to teach children things that the state thinks they ought to be taught. And so you have all kinds of really big issues played out there, like, do you teach creation or do you teach evolution or some blend of bothism? Do you teach Christianity? Do you teach Buddhism? Do you teach atheism? Or do you teach none of the above? And by the way, teaching none of the above is also a teaching. Because when you pretend like God doesn't exist for 8 hours a day, kids get the message. Do you have sex ed or not have sex ed? Do you teach people to use contraception and be careful and prevent babies and diseases when they have sex as minors? Or do you teach them they shouldn't be having sex as minors? Do you allow for gay students? Do you not allow for gay students? Do you teach inclusivity? Do you teach non-inclusivity? Do you teach racism or anti-racism? Do you teach that? Yeah, I mean, there are... Do you have books like Entangle Makes Three in the school library? Education is a, I don't want to overstate this, it is a fundamentally political domain. Because ethics, religion, children, parenting authority, public funds, all mix together and create all these controversies. You can't avoid it. Now, in a world where you have a lot of consistency among the members of the society, you know, if 80% of the people believe that, let's say, Christianity is right and people should wait until they're married and, you know, heterosexuality is the only sexuality, pick your issue, cross the board. It's pretty easy to do a public school because everybody kind of agrees. And the parties, Republican and Democrat, agree. And there used to be a time when they kind of agreed about these things, so it wasn't that controversial. Because the parties and the people that are reflected in the parties now disagree so fundamentally about so many of these issues, of course the schools are a point of conflict. Because the schools have to pick sides on a lot of this stuff. And many times not picking a side is still picking a side. Okay, so back to the issue of partisanship. They're already highly partisan. The decisions they make, the members, the issues. Look, the culture wars are in the schools. So many of these flashpoint, difficult, challenging topics affects even school safety. Guns in schools, no guns in schools. SROs in schools, no SROs in schools. Metal detectors, no metal detectors, right? All of this stuff. And Republicans and Democrats have very different ways of approaching these questions. Therefore, if you're going to elect somebody to be your delegated representative on the school board, you have every right to know what position they take on these things. And the best shorthand for what the position they take on these things is the R or the D behind their name. Okay? So that's the response. It would be nicer if we could have a world where the schools weren't political, where the schools weren't divided, where the school policies were more, you know, homogenous and everybody agreed about what they should be. We don't have that world. We don't have that luxury. We have this world with these real situations. And you basically have the problem of you don't know who you're voting for on a lot of these issues because you don't know what their identification of the party is. That's my argument for, okay? And also because I just think it's silly to think that schools are some beautiful, neutral, you know, apolitical domain. There's no such thing. I don't think it's really ever been that way, but it's especially not that way today. Not because we're infusing schools with these political issues, but because the political issues are what they are and produce the conflicts that play out in schools because it's our kids, our money, all being taught the same way, all of that stuff. 437-1620, 437-1620. Somebody says, I would like to know the party affiliation of anyone I'm voting for who may be making decisions on my behalf. Agreed. I'm only in favor of this particular amendment because I don't want people harming my children. They use different words. Teaching them transgenderism and transsexuality in the schools. Political party is the box you check. All elected positions should be based on their ideas and values, not what box they checked on their voter registration. I've been a Republican since 85, but I'm not a Trump Republican. And by the way, that is an argument against, too, is that the R or the D can be misleading. But we've kind of accepted that the R or the D is the shorthand we want. It's not a great system. Oh, and by the way, the availability of like third parties, which I'm all in favor of, and you heard me many times talk about instant runoff voting or ranked choice voting. I'm all in favor of that. I am. This, to me, is just a matter of sort of voter transparency and because these are the issues that are really playing out in our schools. Somebody says, showing party affiliation simply gives more information about the potential board members. People will be partisan either way. Additional transparency can only help for reform. So, yeah, I'm a yes on this one. I'd say I'm about a 90% yes on this one. And again, my threshold personally is I got to be above 75% yes, you know, with very few concerns in order to believe that something is worth voting for. 654 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
FSU football fans, the big watch party is at Calvert's in the Heights. Calvert's is FSU football watch party central, featuring large screen TVs, clear sound, free parking, and of course, your FSU Seminoles. Join your friends and fans and cheer on the team with FSU drink specials, a full food menu, and the best water view around. Thinking football? Think Calvert's in the Heights, 670 Scenic Highway, online and on Facebook. Go Noles, go!
Experience the captivating musical journey with Celtic Thunder in their brand new show, Odyssey. Join Damian McGinty, Emmett Cahill, Neil Byrne, and Ronan Scollard as they explore a fusion of traditional and contemporary Celtic music, a mix of great new songs and beloved fan favorites. In Odyssey, Celtic Thunder continues their musical evolution.
Get your tickets now for Celtic Thunder at the Sanger Theatre on October 23rd.
So this new dose is, well, nope, that's not it. The price is nowhere to be found.
Mr. Green? Hi, it's all good. We've got this.
This is not just help from a Walgreens pharmacist.
Oh, new prescriptions. Cool. Let me check to see if these are the lowest cost options covered by your Medicare plan.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
This is someone supporting you every step of the way. Chat with a pharmacist today to find help saving. This is the human kind of help. Walgreens.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Fear does not exist in this dojo. Does
657 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And, yeah, I will be podcasting those discussions of the amendments on their own so that you can listen to them, share them, whatever, if you think they're valuable. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
One accident to let you know about. There's an accident on Palafox Street blocking traffic at Hope Drive, and that's just north of I-10, so thank you for the heads up on that. I-10 starting to slow down. Speaking of that, on the, if you're going I-10 eastbound approaching the Highway 29 construction zone, we're seeing some delays there. And also, other than that, that's traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. John David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines, struggling with his computer this morning. How goes the battle right now?
Well, you know, there's ups and there's downs, and there's more downs than there are ups, I think. We've been talking about this a lot. The man who was arrested outside of Donald Trump's rally in California, well, he is continuing to deny the claims that he was there to assassinate the former president.
Trump has been one of my top few inspirations, and he's one of the few people, if he were to really be shot by somebody, I'd be the first person to jump in front of that bullet, because I feel as though the work that he's doing is very important for the future of this country.
And that is Vern Miller. And now Miller says that he's actually planning to sue the Riverside County Sheriff's Office for defamation. That's after Sheriff Bianco there in Riverside County said that he believed his deputies had, quote, prevented a third assassination attempt. The sheriff standing by his opinion, though.
If he wants to say that he's an innocent victim, then he also has to come out and say how dumb it was to believe that he could do all of those things and try and get into that event with guns. I don't care if he's a supporter of Trump.
And so, he's calling for a full investigation into that now.
Yeah, you know, it's not the best thing to get into a war of words with a sheriff that's got pretty hefty legal immunity from describing the things that he sees as crimes or not. You know, the whole point, like the reason the sheriff can come on the station like he will next hour and say a lot of the things he says is because he's protected in a lot of ways from defamation that might apply to somebody like me or to, you know, somebody like you in your private life, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just, good luck. I'll just say it that way.
Absolutely.
All right, David. Thanks so much for our update. 659 on News Radio 92.3. You've heard word about a radio tower going away and how that affects us. We'll talk about that coming up. And Amendment 2 on fishing and hunting. It's coming up, too.
Listen on air.